Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and on this program I'd like to explore the evolving spiritual potential that we're coming into on this planet, and that includes many aspects of ourselves, our potential for higher consciousness, our potential to tap into our own body's physiological capacity. And that includes our sexual capacity. Tonight's guest is talking about the evolution and capabilities of who we are as sexual beings. She's been trained with Matak Chia. She's developing her own school of Jade Goddess work. Her name is Saida. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Alan.
I think what's so important about your work is to bring an awareness to, first of all, the complexity of female sexuality, and also how sexuality is used as a spiritual evolutionary tool, right?
I mean, absolutely.
Are those kind of two aspects of your work, mm-hmm. a kind of practical and theoretical side?
There's the physical component, and then there's that definite spiritual side to the practice.
Well, let's talk about the spiritual aspect.
Okay.
So many people in our culture have sort of been disconnected from their sexuality, or they use it as a kind of a pleasure-seeking drug. You know, and it doesn't seem like that's what its original intent was.
Mm.
I mean, besides procreation, we have such a sophisticated physiology connected to our sexual pleasures,
and
so how do you make the connection between, you know, sexual pleasure and play and spiritual evolution?
That's a great question. Often I've explored the topic of orgasm and why people seek out the orgasmic experience, and whether they're sexually educated or not, everybody wants to have an orgasm. So why is this?
Well, I think a lot of people like to have orgasms for an escape, as a drug, as a way of like letting go of their everyday personal life.
But I do think a part of them unconsciously understands that when they experience orgasm, that's when they're purely in the now.
Mm-hmm.
Pure now time. You can't have an orgasm in the past or future.
Yeah.
It can only happen right now. And when it happens right now, your whole being, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, is inundated mm-hmm. with bliss.
Yeah.
And I believe bliss to be our natural birthright.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the unconscious motivation behind seeking orgasm, which to me is exciting because you can tap into that to grow consciously.
No, I think that's a really good point. The fact that that moment of orgasm, they would call the little death, where
mm-hmm.
you would connect with God consciousness, where your totality would come into alignment,
mm-hmm.
and you'd have a samadhi experience.
Exactly.
So then, is it possible then to use that as a kind of practice in a way, where you can work on a spiritual development?
Definitely.
In what way?
Well, through the training that I've received, we use the orgasmic energy to generate a heart connection, first of all.
Mm.
So the heart in the Tao is known as the seat of our consciousness. So to activate the heart and combine it with the sexual energy, and then bringing that up to the master glands, the pineal and pituitary
mm-hmm.
glands, and working with this type of exercise or qigong definitely allows you to access greater parts of who you are. And one of the ways I've recently experienced this was through a dark room retreat.
You want to tell us about the dark room retreat?
I can talk a little bit about it. In the dark, you tend to... Serotonin is not produced unless there's light.
Mm-hmm.
So your melatonin levels get raised. And when the melatonin levels go a certain level and bypass serotonin, then you produce your spiritual hormones.
What do you mean by spiritual hormones?
There are hormones that you don't normally have on a regular basis that can't be created because the melatonin levels never get high enough.
Mm-hmm.
But when the opportunity is there, you have access to these clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience.
Mm-hmm.
So you become more of what you really are.
So you start to tap into the higher levels of consciousness.
Yes,
now, how
absolutely.
Do you connect that to
the sexual energy?
Yeah.
Well, in the dark room, we would do advanced sexual practices called the Kanin Li, water and fire.
Right.
And these are self-intercourse practices where you arouse the sexual energy through some breathing patterns, open the heart, love, and you combine the two, the fire and the water, and it literally will feel internally like you're making love, although externally you're just sitting and breathing. And then this high vibration will start to raise your cellular vibration, and you enable yourself to pull in ultraviolet light and other lights and start accessing these different forms of information.
So how did you feel when that happened? I mean, I know you felt energized, but what was the result of that? And what?
Many results. The main one was bliss. I was in ecstasy all the time. But through that, I was able to access a lot of information about questions that I had that perhaps I would have needed a master or someone fairly advanced to answer for me, and I was getting direct access to the information.
Well, many people in meditation go into those states, and you can access any answer you want, any question you have. Are you in the room by yourself?
No, we have your own bedroom and bathroom, but then there's a main hall where everyone comes and meditates together.
And you're completely in the dark?
Completely in the dark, can't see anybody.
How do you find your room?
You just know where it is. You orient yourself prior to the lights going off.
And you're in there for how long?
I was in there 3 weeks.
3 weeks? Yep. And they give you food?
It's a 5-star experience. It's wonderful.
Great food.
Yes, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because I've spent, a week in blindfolds wandering around doing practices, too. And you start to actually see through your blindfolds.
Mm-hmm.
You start to feel shapes coming towards you.
Yes.
It's a great experience.
Mm-hmm. And when you're not getting information through your skin as well, it really changes your perception. Because we get a lot of information just through the light touching our skin. Mm-hmm. So blindfold, you're still accessing a lot of information through the light.
Oh, I see. Through the light of your skin. So being in complete dark is another experience.
Yeah. And I would often wear a blindfold or eye cap in the dark just to remind my eyes that they didn't need to work. They didn't need to see.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So you'd bump into other people?
I never bumped into anyone.
You never did?
I just always knew where everything was. And it was quite interesting.
And 2 weeks?
3 weeks.
Yeah,
21 days.
Wow, excellent. So when you came out of that, you had a lot more information.
Yes.
And your focus is sexuality.
My focus is sexuality.
That's what you were tapping into in that meditation.
Yes, by the end of the 3 weeks, the kidneys in the Chinese medicine are known to house Jing Qi, or sexual
Jing. The essence.
So you replenish your kidneys so much because you sleep a lot, you relax, there's not too much stimulation, there's no demands on your life. So by the third week, pretty much all the participants felt like they were when they were teenagers. You're very horny and a lot of vibration, very alive.
There's no sexual practices in the dark room.
Not with each other, but
not with each other.
Within yourself, we do advanced Kanin Li's practices.
Great, that's very exciting. So now that you've kind of accessed a kind of branch of knowledge, you're out there teaching people how to connect more with their an integrated sexual feeling, not one that's separated from their heart, but one that's intimately connected to their whole being.
Yes.
You know, so what is it that you first tell people in those situations? Like, how do we go from a kind of ignorant where sexuality is just for pleasure to one that is now an integrated heart experience? What's the first step that you tell people?
Well, I tell them that bliss is their birthright.
Right.
And that's just my own belief. And then they get curious as to where that comes from. And most of us were created through orgasm.
Yeah.
Through the lovemaking of our parents. And so the first two cells, or half cells that we are, the first cell that we become, come from our sex cells, the mom's egg and the father's sperm.
And from the energy of bliss.
And from the energy of bliss and orgasm.
Yes.
So when that's there, all the cells come from that place. So every cell in your body is then untechnically a sex cell.
Right.
So we really have that bliss in all the cells. My teacher often speaks about the DNA making love. When it crosses over, it makes love. So if you imagine 6.5 trillion cells in your body constantly making love as they reproduce themselves, it's quite fascinating.
I mean, in the practices I've done, you hold that sexual energy and you pull it up the spine, so it starts to activate other centers in the brain, and sometimes my eyes get very bright and clear, and it's like I feel the chi has been moved up, and then the idea is to circulate it around
the body,
and then with a partner to circulate it around each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't always remember to do that. How can I remind myself, like, you know, that's the thing to go for?
Mm. Well, the practice you just described is the microcosmic orbit, and that is a foundational base practice. Whether or not you choose to follow the path of enlightenment through using your sexual energy, I recommend everybody, whether it's a corporate setting or my sexual classes, to do the microcosmic orbit.
Right.
It balances the body, and it does blend the raw physical energy into higher brain energy and brings them together. So it's a very vital practice for people.
I think, you know, that's a good way to start out in the way of initiating a kind of cultivation of sexual energy and sort of just going above pure pleasure seeking, you know. And then to understand what I think is so valuable in your work is the complexity of especially female sexuality. You know, you were talking when I heard you lecture on the three types of fluids. So can you just talk about how, you know, most men aren't really aware of how complex a woman is, unless they had to deal with them emotionally.
But, yes.
You know. But physiologically, women are very complex. Mm-hmm. So can you just talk about the totality of that? I mean,
In some belief systems, women are seen as the more evolved species because the genitals are internal, and they internally reference immediately when the first time when you're a child and you don't know where your pee is coming from, so you have to access internal information to find that out, whereas for a boy it's very easy to see where it's coming from. So women are faced with this challenge, but yet it also makes them have more access to the internal world. In the Tao practice, women are yin, which means water, and water comes in many forms. It can be mist, it can be rain, it can be snow, it can be ice. And fire is fire. There's flames, and that's pretty much fire. And that's the yang energy. Yang energy is very complex, too. But for women...
Well, yang has to be as complex as yin, because
exactly,
there's a balance.
They're balanced.
You know? Yes.
But the yin is probably misunderstood. The feminine energy, the divine feminine energy, is now slowly coming back.
Oh, because it was treated as bad, you know, or negative. And it's just really the balance of the light, the dark and light to exist.
Yeah.
The Tai Chi is symbol of, you know, the dark turning into light. I mean, I know I study Chinese medicine, so I recognize the value of yin as much as yang.
So speaking of water, yin essence, the female genitals, when aroused, becomes very wet, and there's all kinds of waters, and they're all seen as sacred and like elixirs.
Yeah, talk about the three types of waters and female ejaculation. It's very important for people to be aware of.
To understand.
So the three types of waters are what?
Well, they're generated from glands in the sexual organs. The first water is released upon clitoral stimulation.
And that's what most people are aware of, a kind of wetness, right?
Yeah. And then, and that it can sometimes come out with some force, but a lot of times you just get very wet.
It's internal.
Internal.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't come from the clitoris.
Right.
And then the G-spot ejaculation is the most commonly understood one at this time, through stimulation of the periurethral sponge through the vagina, and that can release another form of water, which is alkaline-based, and comes
more
from glands.
It's a thicker type of water than just clitoral stimulation, right?
They're very similar in texture, yeah. And then the third water comes from the cervix, the mucus lining. The cervix is filled with glands as well and produces a lot of different kind of mucus.
I mean, so most women, and I'm sure most men, are not even aware that there are these different qualities of fluid that are produced in the body, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is it true most women that you meet are very unaware of this?
Most are aware that something's happening.
Right.
They'll find a wet spot, but they don't really take the time to find out what it is or worry about it. Mm-hmm. In terms of female ejaculation, why I have a passion to share about it, it's been a lot of harm done to women who do this in a greater capacity. Mm-hmm. And they've been made to feel wrong or that they have incontinence or...
Oh, because you were saying that the fluid backs up into the urethra and then sometimes women feel as if they've urinated and they haven't. They've just released a lot of sexual fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been made to feel wrong and ashamed.
Yes, either through a partner or themselves or a situation. Mm-hmm. And the orgasm is different when there's ejaculation versus non-ejaculation.
Oh, really? So in what way is the orgasm different for women?
Well, say for female G-spot ejaculation, a clitoral orgasm will be more where the energy is drawing up and it's more masculine in its expression.
As far as it's like a sharp peak and then it's finished?
And then sometimes you've had enough with one.
Uh-huh.
The female ejaculation requires more and more for you to open your heart, to relax, to surrender, and to bear down, push down lightly.
Is it more pleasurable?
No, they're just different
flavors.
Different flavors of pleasure, yeah.
That's the G-spot. And when we say ejaculation, there's actually fluid that's being projected out of the vagina? Out or from
From the urethra. The urethral sponge, if you remember what I drew,
yeah,
is lined with glands called paraurethral glands. Mm-hmm. And they fill, just like your salivary glands, with liquid. And they usually get stimulated to fill with liquid upon a hormonal shift, which means arousal, sexual arousal.
But that takes a longer and more concentrated time. That doesn't happen to women as fast as a clitoral orgasm, right?
Well, depends on the woman.
I guess so.
So mostly what happens when women don't experience this is sexual activity tends to be not enough time is given to a woman to really honor her body and take time to really activate her and be with her. And so a lot of times, I think intercourse is now about between 2 to 10 minutes maximum in length.
2 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, and still as an average.
And that hardly gets a woman started, right?
No, I mean, especially if there was no foreplay or anything like that.
So women would never have an ejaculation or with that kind of within 10 minutes. I mean, most.
Again, it depends on the woman, but most women know. So that's why I use these little guys.
Oh, these are your jade eggs. Okay.
Yeah.
And what is this for?
So the jade egg is part of the jade goddess practice and also the Tao practice.
Uh-huh.
And there's multiple levels of why we would use one. On a pure physical level, the pelvic muscular health is enhanced using the jade eggs because you're constantly working out.
So you put this inside
The vagina.
And then what would you do with it?
You practice sucking it in first, getting the muscles to learn to do that. And then you move it up and down. You can learn to flip it around.
In your vagina, you can do all that.
Yes.
That's incredible.
And you learn to squeeze above and below and the egg itself. In very advanced practices, you lift weights with it.
You lift weights.
So you attach a weight at the bottom.
At the end, and hanging outside the body.
Yeah.
And then you pull it up and pull it down.
Yeah.
Wow. And then...
So that's the physical side of it. Then there's the emotional part of it, where the reflexology of the vagina affects the whole body.
You mean there's points on the vagina?
Yeah, within the vagina.
That connect to the whole body.
That's correct.
And I'm sure on the penis as well.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So with the egg, then you'd stimulate certain points in the vagina that would also have a reflex in the body.
Exactly.
Oh, very
nice. So you work directly with the organs, and the Taoists believe that our emotions originate from our organs.
Right.
So that's how we do emotional healing work, utilizing the power of our sexual energy.
But also the jade egg is then the penis is then able to have all the thrills of a jade egg practitioner, right?
Yes.
I mean, you'd be able to do
On a physical level, a woman's better able to pleasure her partner and pleasure herself.
Right.
Because the more she can have dexterity and suppleness and strength in her vagina, the more she can experience greater pleasure for herself and her partner.
And so then what do you recommend for men to kind of, as a parallel
to that? As a parallel exercise.
Sort of, I guess, contracting the perineum and lifting weights. And
yeah, there's a whole other male practice
that
comes with the training.
And I'm sure there are practitioners who can talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and then on a spiritual level,
So
first we do very gross level practices, meaning physical and pulling up and down and movement, and then we get more and more subtle, so more on the spiritual end of things, the esoteric side, is we learn to feel the actual sexual chi. So we tap into the ovarian chi, we tap into the aroused chi, and women can actually experience orgasm simply by visualizing the chi spiraling in their vagina, and they'll start to have an orgasm. So that's a level of orgasm that most people don't know they have or could tune into.
Well, couldn't you then just tap into someone you've met and kind of tap into their sexual energy and start to experience it that way through that through the vagina and through what they call the chakra down in the in the uterus. I mean, some people claim there's an eighth chakra or chakra that men don't have. And then can you experience someone that way just by tuning into this part of yourself?
Can I experience them or can they experience?
No, can you experience other people by tapping into?
I'm very sensitive, yes, so I can definitely feel other people's energy movement in their body. I've worked with couples and with individuals where I never touch them, it's clothes on, but energy can be generated because I can direct it from a distance.
You project for them. Your sexual energy, would you say?
Yeah, life force energy, sexual energy, life force energy. And I allow, I call it juiciness or succulent energy, to come through and just simply activate the individual. So,
And then they're able to take that energy and work with
it. It's really their own energy. So if you understand how vibration works, if you have something vibrating very quickly next to something that's slow, the slow one's going to start to pick up, like boiling water, for instance. It starts to vibrate faster and faster and faster. So that's what happens when, if I come near you and my chakras are vibrating very high and I actually send that frequency to you, your energy system's going to go up. So your energy will start to vibrate at that level, and you'll experience that. So it's not me and it's not you.
Right. So how long would a woman practice with the egg?
With the egg? I generally invite women to create their own length of time, to tune into their own inner wisdom and guidance around it.
Right.
I wear mine all day, every day.
You wear it?
I just wear it around. Yeah, I walk around, I work out with it.
It's inside you?
It's inside me.
All day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes I invite women to sleep with it. If you've had babies or surgeries, it's very hard to hold the egg in. It'll just come right out. So in order to have some positive results, I invite them just to sleep with the egg. And then they'll wake up in the morning, forget it's there, and walk around with it. So they'll, because at night the vagina will just work with the egg.
It will automatically.
Yes.
And it's also a way of toning the vagina.
It definitely tones the vagina. And then the other beautiful part about this egg.
Yes.
It's like a balancing factor.
Okay.
So if a woman has extremely high libido and she wears the egg, it'll tone her down a little bit, bring the energy more inward. She can cultivate it more inwardly. And if a woman has no libido, just has no energy, it starts to juice her up and bring her energy up. So it really is just balancing depending on the individual.
Great. What's the hole in the egg for?
The hole in the egg is to put a string through it. So it's easy to remove.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Because it can kind of get...
Well, it doesn't necessarily get stuck, but some ladies get afraid and then they tighten and it won't come out. So it's very easy to take it out. And also for attaching weights in the more advanced practice. Yeah.
And so you're here in New York. You'll be giving workshops in the Jade Egg as well as... What other areas do you actually give workshops in?
I give also workshops with men called the Jade Dragon Workshop, and it's the female perspective on the male's training. So what I do is give men why would you want to do this? You know, as a recipient, as a woman, why do I enjoy being with men who know how to have non-ejaculatory orgasms and who are aware of their energy systems and their bodies? So the connection is really great when you have both partners practicing. Then I bring them together in a couples retreat called the Tao of Tantra, because I like to incorporate Taoist things but with a playful flavor and a joyful flavor.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Taoist stuff is similar but different than the tantric school, which came
That's
from
correct.
India.
Yeah.
So there's many elements that overlap, but there's also very distinctive flavors.
Exactly.
Of the two, so,
yeah, and I like to combine them.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, there's so much more to talk about, and maybe we'll do another show where we can really get into details and talk about some of the male practices, non-ejaculatory orgasm.
Exactly.
And more the development of the female orgasm and what happens on many levels. And,
great.
You know, so you have some information how to get in touch with you?
Yes, through the website of sexyspirits.com.
Sexyspirits.com.
And there's a man by the name of Anton Diaz, and he has a school called Sexy Spirits, and he's the one sponsoring Jade Goddess and Jade Dragon here.
And Saida will be in New York. I'll let people know, and you can contact sexyspirits.com, or you can call me at 212-473-6388. My name's Alan Steinfeld, and I've been talking to Saida, who's been trained in many different aspects of sexuality, sexual cultivation and development, particularly with Matak Chia. You're writing a book with Matak Chia.
I'm actually writing a paper for him specifically on female ejaculation, and I'm writing my own book.
On the Jade Goddess.
On the Jade Goddess. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Alan.
There's a lot more material to talk about, so we'll come back for a second part.
Wonderful.
Okay, thanks. This is Alan Steinfeld, and thank you for watching. Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld. And on this program, I'd like to explore the evolving spiritual, emotional, physical potential of our race as we move into a greater peace within ourselves and hopefully the world. Tonight's guest is someone who's very practiced and studied in the art of sexuality, Taoist sexual cultivation, and she'll be talking about orgasm, omni-orgasm, and how we can expand our human potential. Tonight's guest is Saida.
Thank you, Alan. Nice to be here.
It's always nice to see you. What I like about you is that you're so light and open and full of joy about sexuality, where so many people keep it like a dark secret. How did you get that way?
I think I was born this way, but I was very lucky because I wasn't raised in a social setting where sexual energy was made wrong. I had two very loving, passionate parents who were very healthy around sexual energy. They just had great boundaries and explained things very easily. And then I didn't have a religious influence, so there was no stigma attached to how I thought about lovemaking and bodies.
Isn't it weird when you come across people that, which is most of the world, that do have a stigma about that?
It's weird and it isn't, because most of my friends were like that, and so I just thought I was the unusual one.
So you were just really always open and free, and did you get a lot of negative, you know, energy put
I did.
Towards you?
Yep.
You did, and how did you deal with that?
Well, the first time I taught sexual practice, I was 5 years old, and I was teaching...
What did you teach five-year-olds?
I was teaching my friends about their clitoris, or the little bliss button.
And is that what you call it? Press the little bliss button.
Exactly. And we were found, because this was in the basement of a friend's house, and we were found, and I was obviously the one telling the other girls about it, so I wasn't allowed to play with my friends anymore, and was.
But it was just a natural thing. You're like, guess what, girls? You
press this. This feels good, yeah. But somehow that didn't scar me. Uh-huh. And I've experienced a whole range of experiences, including a rape, and that also didn't scar me.
Because most women would be very turned. So how did you deal with that so it wasn't traumatic?
I think in the moment I just was really present when I was having the experience. I didn't leave my body, and afterwards I didn't blame any other man for that experience. So I just worked with it within myself. Yeah.
Well, some people say rape isn't actually a sexual experience at all.
No, it's more a violent experience, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a violence. And so many people kind of channel their violence into their sexuality, right? And that's also a place where it's got kind of a bad press because of that. So you're really here to lift the energy, to make our potential of sexuality a joyful experience.
A very joyful experience, and a more of an everyday experience, rather than it's something hidden or strange.
Or even that you do, like, at night with your partner.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, now let's have sex. You know,
exactly, in a compartmentalized way. But for me, sexual energy, you can access it every moment of the day. It's your creative life force.
Uh-huh.
It's what, if you didn't have it, you wouldn't be here. You'd be dead. So if you can tune into it and access it, you have infinite amount of creative energy, so you can create whatever you want in your life.
I mean, men and women, I don't know about women, but for men, I think, you know, it goes through these cycles where, you know, we can be very aroused and then not so aroused throughout the course of the day. I mean, of course, a lot of men just focus on that until, you know, they have a release. So there's something very disconnected about that kind of sexuality.
Right.
And so how can we all be more connected to it? What would you suggest?
Well, one of the fundamental Taoist practices is the inner smile. And the inner smile allows you to have inner relationship to all your organs, your body. And as you learn to have this inner awareness, this inner smiling energy, and you activate the sexual energy, then it just kind of spreads throughout the body and gets taken away from just being genitally located.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring that pleasurable feeling into your whole body. The inner smile also allows you to build a healthy relationship with your emotions.
What way?
Well, for me, the sexual energy it amplifies whatever's there. So if you have a lot of hidden anger in your body and you start to activate yourself sexually, you're going to act out with more anger because it amplifies.
You're going to act out sexually more.
Maybe not even sexually, but in your life.
Oh,
the sexual energy, if you have sex and you move that energy in the body, it will amplify what's there. So you can start experiencing anger at you or more you directed at someone.
Right.
So in learning how to, I call it sexual management, energy management, learning to work with it and understand it, then you become more conscious of how you are in the world and what you're creating around yourself. So
I mean, the inner smile is something Matak Chia developed, where you take that feeling of smiling and you just bring it into your organs. I mean, you connect it with your lungs and your heart. Just the feeling of smiling.
Yes.
So when you connect it then to the sexual organs, what actually happens? I mean, do you start to raise that energy up?
Okay, well, there's several things. The more you smile, the more the heart opens and softens. And the heart is an essential part of higher sexual practice because the heart will create compassion. I like to call it compassion, bringing the sexual energy up to the heart and becoming more aware and more conscious that way. So smiling down to the genitals, we often don't even think of smiling to our genitals.
Right.
There's often anger, repression, resentment, frustration, fear, all these different things associated with our sexual organs.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we learn to smile down and send the loving energy of our heart to our sexual organs, it creates a whole new relationship to what our sexual energy is.
Right, it's like, hello, welcome.
Exactly.
Be a part of, like, the rest of the body.
Exactly, yes.
Feel. Yeah, I guess people sort of segregate their sexual organs as, like, a special part of themselves. Or
Yeah, they separated, they isolated, and they're disconnected from it. A lot of people live from the neck up.
That's true, especially in the city. Mm-hmm. Their body is just something to carry their head around on.
Yes.
You know? So
yeah.
When and I think sexuality is so focused upon in the mm-hmm. city because it's a way for them to people to get back in touch with nature and their body, but it's very unbalanced,
mm-hmm.
that connection. So you bring the sexuality to every part of your body.
Yes. So through the Taoist practices of the orbit and the inner smile and these different ways of opening the body, the sexual organs aren't the only thing that's going to contain the energy anymore. Mm-hmm. So the whole body becomes a container for this life force.
Mm-hmm.
And every cell then becomes a part of it, which for me defines more what omni-orgasm is.
Yeah, what's omni-orgasm?
Well, probably some people have heard of multi-orgasm. Uh-huh. And multi-orgasm just means many.
Right.
And usually in a sexual setting means one after another.
Okay.
Omni-orgasm basically just means all orgasmic or all orgasm.
Like all the time. You're always orgasmic.
All meaning all the time, but also meaning more, it's not related to just my genitals.
Uh-huh.
It's not related just to male-female interaction or human interaction. So I start to receive bliss and pleasure through just the act of being alive.
And do you?
Yes, I absolutely do.
And you've developed that how? Through this inner smile and the microcosmic orbit work of Matak Chia?
Yes, and actually if you just learn how to smile and enjoy the aroused sensations that your body has, tuning into them, a lot of ladies say they never have orgasms,
mm-hmm.
but I believe that they do. They're just not aware because they're the more subtle orgasms. They're not traditionally defined.
Yeah, orgasm yeah. has a whole span of possibilities,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
I mean, everyone thinks it's just this wild explosion of burst.
The Big Bang Theory, yeah.
yeah. But it's everything in between that, like
mm-hmm.
from feeling subtle bliss to like, you know,
fully expanded
yeah.
hour longs, yeah.
But the goal of sex actually isn't orgasm.
Mm,
I mean,
no.
in the tantric and the Taoist traditions, that's not the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice side benefit.
It's a process-oriented experience rather than a goal-oriented experience.
And that's the kind of sexuality you're teaching and developing.
That's correct, yes.
It's not, we're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're being in the moment together.
Yes.
I think that's very important
yeah.
because...
Being with ourselves, mm-hmm. being with other individuals, being with nature.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch nature very carefully, especially now it's springtime, and you see the vibration of life in the trees and the squirrels and the pigeons, everything's getting sexy, everything's preparing for this procreative time. So when you attune yourself to nature, you as well can receive this energy. So for me, looking at a sunset or the trees, the leaves swaying in the trees, I can have spontaneous, what I call blissgasms, little...
It's a physiologic... It would be like an
yeah,
orgasm?
It's like an orgasm. It's not in my genitals.
Mm.
Although I can experience genital orgasm through that as well, but it's more through... It just feels my whole body is expanded.
If you see something beautiful, your whole body has... That's...
Yeah.
That's an amazing capability. I would think everyone's... It's possible for everyone
we're
to have that.
We're wired to do that, yeah.
We are wired to
yeah.
do that, but somehow we've so disconnected from that potential.
Mm.
So if we see something beautiful, we say, oh, isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't really feel it. It's a visual stimulation, but then how do we bring that into our physiology?
Right. Well, there's a couple things there. One, I think, is people are afraid to really feel.
Yeah.
The emotional world is one of the places where we're not really mature as adult species. We're mature physically, mentally, even spiritually we're encouraged to mature, but not necessarily emotionally.
Well, what does that mean, emotional maturity?
It's an understanding and being at home with yourself that yes, I do experience anger, and yes, I do experience kindness, and working with, instead of becoming the emotion, feeling it like it's an energy passing through you or a signpost on your road on the way to where you're going.
So you're the observer of the, oh, like, now I'm feeling anger. So instead of activating it or engaging it. You just observe it.
Well, it's both. You're in it and you're observing it. So you're not experiencing it. Mm-hmm. You allow yourself to be totally in it, but at the same time, you understand that that's not who you are.
Right. And yeah. I would say the same thing with the sexual energy as well.
Yes.
So then even though you're a very sexual being, you don't want to have sex all the time, do you?
No. Yeah. It's very interesting. When you do this practice, you start to expand your potential of what it means to be sexual. And you no longer become dependent on another person or a specific type of event, meaning intercourse or
stimulation.
Yeah. And you start to realize you can access orgasmic energy or bliss energy through just simply breathing and smiling. And that's what I mean by a greater potential or expanding who we are as beings.
No, I get that from you because I've talked to many different teachers, and there's something very integrated about you and your approach, and innocent, you know? That's what I like about you. It's very sweet and humble, and, you know, you're not putting yourself up on a pedestal. You're just someone who's talking about their experience within your own body and capacity.
Absolutely.
And you're here to teach. I mean, so do you want to talk about some of the things you do teach in your workshop?
I have a passion for seeing as many people as vibrantly alive and passionate as they can be, because I think the world would be a great place if everyone was like that.
Yeah.
And what I like to teach is the understanding of what it is to be omni-orgasmic versus what some people think that they're not even orgasmic.
Right.
And how can you get there, and how does this work? So most of it is really just the art of learning self-love, self-acceptance, and becoming very present with what's there right now.
Whatever's there.
Whatever it is there. For example, I know that a lot of times both sexes will experience anger towards the other sex for being aroused. So a man will often get...
For
not being aroused. But if a man sees a woman dressed a certain way and he gets aroused, he can get angry and say, well, why is she wearing a miniskirt? And if a woman sees a man with an erection through his pants, she can get upset, and why is he getting aroused? Mm-hmm. And so there can be this kind of exchange or misunderstanding. And the way I see it is, these are gifts that we give each other, the opposite sex gives to each other.
To arouse each other is a gift.
So it's a gift in that instead of me doing something about it, I can accept, I understand I'm being aroused, and I go, thank you so much. I just got all this great energy. And I send it through my whole body, have a great experience. I don't need to talk to the person. I don't need to make them wrong or even understand what they're doing. I just receive it and give thanks for that. So that's part of the training, is learning more and more compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual practice really develops yourself as a spiritual being because it develops the compassion heart.
Mm-hmm. And there are specific sexual practices, like on the last show you talked about these jade eggs, which are used internally in a woman, and there are certain practices that men use to build up the muscles as well. And then when they come together, the man and woman, they can have deeper physical pleasure because of these physical exercises. Right.
And so that's a very important component, is understanding how energy exchanges between a man and a woman and between individuals. Yeah.
And so in the Taoist practice of Ma Tek Chia, the idea is to bring the sexual energy up the spine and expand the brain to stimulate the pineal and pituitary system.
Yes, and the other side of that is you also bring it down the front.
Uh-huh.
And when you bring it down the front, it opens your throat, which allows you to speak your truth.
Mm.
It opens the heart, creating more compassion. It opens the solar plexus, which allows you to just be in the world, very comfortably be in the world. It keeps opening the front, open the front. And the front is known as the yin, or the feminine channel.
Right.
And most of us are very comfortable in our masculine expression of doing and going and being and linear thought. But our feminine, the softness, the more receptive side, we don't often cultivate. So this practice very much balances your own internal yin and yang, or male and female energies.
And on the last show, you talked about the sophisticated development of female sexuality with the different fluids and the, you know, there's the clitoral stimulation produces one sort of fluid, and the G-spot stimulation produces a more viscous type of fluid. And then the cervix, you know, when that is stimulated, I guess, through deep, prolonged penetration, right? That's when the cervix produces a sort of a kind of a very heavy type of fluid, right? And that must have components in the male physiology as well.
Yeah, the pre-cum in a man, so just a clear prostate fluid, is, I believe, to be another elixir and very important to ingest, or at least put on the body as a stimulant. And some men experience such huge amounts of it, they're quite uncomfortable. They don't understand why there's so much.
Before ejaculated fluid.
Just when they're aroused and excited, there could be a lot of clear liquid releasing, and they're often afraid of losing energy or whatever in their expression of that. So in my understanding, if it's coming out, just enjoy it, ingest it, rub it on yourself, whatever you like. So sexual fluids to me are not that different than my tears or my saliva. They're not wrong, they're not bad, they're very sacred. And often I've found if you are sensitive energetically to these fluids, you can actually get high from them. They're very charged with a lot of energy. So the more healthy you can be, your lifestyle as well, the energy will get more and more powerful within these fluids.
Well, you know, in the Taoist practices, they said the they say the man should retain his ejaculation, pull it up the spine. Do you think that's always the case? I mean, I feel depleted if I ejaculate usually.
Again, it's sexual energy management. So some Taoists are very strict. They never ejaculate. And other Taoists feel like a good spring cleaning is okay, and so they'll do it a few times a year, mostly in the spring. I believe in exchange. So if you have a partnership that's going to a higher level, and the woman is often gifting her fluids to the male, then I believe that the male can occasionally gift her.
But women aren't depleted in the same way that men are.
They're not, but I think it's okay once in a while in that kind of a way. Especially if you do practices, really what you're doing is drawing the chi from the sperm into your body. So if you're releasing the sperm and you've already drawn all the energy out of it, it's not as damaging as not doing any practice and ejaculating.
Is there a way then to rebuild the chi in men if they happen to ejaculate? Which way is that?
Oh, well, there's many qigong, so it's hard to get into at this time.
And practices.
And diet.
And food. And there are aphrodisiacs that will do that as well.
Yes.
I mean, I find, like, seafood is an aphrodisiac. No, it's true. Oysters and shrimp.
Olives.
Because they produce a deeper heat in the lower dantian, and they help build the kidneys. So. Now, for women, though, having orgasms isn't depleting. It's very energizing. This is what you've talked about. Can you?
Some ladies, it is depleting, so it depends as well on the individual. Women usually lose their energy through menstruation. So they learn through practices how to tap into the ovarian chi and pull that energy into their body and rejuvenate them. The older ladies that I know that do this practice look very young. They haven't gone through the traditional sense of menopause. They're still juicy. They're still
Could they then
alive.
Start to then menstruate if they wanted to?
Master Chia has known women who've done practice that have brought their menstruation back even up to 65 years of age.
And would they be able to conceive a child?
Yes.
That they would.
Yeah.
Because they've held on to the chi.
Well, even if you stop menstruating, it doesn't mean that the eggs are gone. Yeah, it's just the hormones have changed.
Well, people say that women really deplete their energy through childbirth, that you lose a lot of chi that way. Is that your understanding as well?
Yeah, all the best energies go to the child. So the more children you're pregnant with, the more you're draining your own body, because it all goes, the fetus gets the karma, the crumb of everything. So.
Well, that's why when I talked to Matak Chia, he told me he was building an immortal child out of his own essence. Is that something you're practicing as well?
Absolutely.
Can you tell me?
To do with the last session we talked about, the Khan and Lee practices.
Right.
And these are the self-intercourse practices, they're inner alchemy practices. And within that, you do create this immortal child or immortal fetus. And it comes from the union, the male and female energies in your body make love, and from that union, there's an energetic child or fetus that's formed, and then you develop and grow it through your loving attention, through your meditation.
Do you feel this fetus now? I mean, have you developed that yet?
If you can, I can. The thing that happens, though, when you're an early practitioner, if you don't continue the practice, it just dissolves, and then you have to go and recreate this experience. As you get more advanced, it stays. So it's not a practice that I'm developing at this time for myself with a lot of enthusiasm, more based on I have other intentions for myself right now.
Right. You want to go out and teach and experience
exactly.
More.
You need a lot of quiet space and undisturbed practice time for
that. And then when you give birth to the immortal child, it's kind of a spring of enlightenment.
It gives birth eventually to your spirit body. And the Taoists believe that you can become immortal through, at the time of death, taking your conscious self, putting in the spirit body, and then you consciously keep existing.
Right. And I think that's possible. Yeah. I know that's possible.
Yeah, so.
But for you right now, you're here to really teach about sexuality and development and how to bring that bliss into.
Yes.
So just tell us, what is our potential? What do you see as as our human potential?
I really see us as having much more capacity to love unconditionally. And that doesn't mean just the traditional spiritual sense of it, but really feeling the love frequency, love energy, love chi, emanating not just from ourselves, but from life. I see us understanding, fully integrating sexual energy into absolutely every activity.
Wouldn't that be great if we were actually taught that in school, as opposed to like just the stupid sex education that they give people there?
I'm actually planning to do that.
Oh, really?
I know that Planned Parenthood has programs already, and I do teach. The youngest student I have is 11-year-old boy, and he's been meditating since he was 3. He's a very advanced soul already, and that was his final step that his mother felt that he needed. So.
And you're in New York, and you're giving workshops and lectures and private sessions, actually. So
yes.
If people want to get in touch with Saita, they can contact...
Sexy Spirits at www.sexyspirits.com.
So it's www.sexyspirits.com.
That's correct.
That's to reach Saita. Thank you for being here.
Thank you,
it's
Alan.
It's nice talking to you. And we'll talk more and talk about... I'd like to talk about real deep development of sexual practice and how to really activate that.
That sounds fantastic.
So,
thank
you for watching. Thank you. This is Alan Steinfeld, and if you want to reach me, I'm at 212-473-6388. Thank you. Yeah, I think deep sexual, somehow getting into another depth there.
Yeah, absolutely. We could talk more about practices. And
I mean, where would you like to go? Because that was a nice general introduction. I thought that was better, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can keep going. Yeah.
Yes, no. So...
What would be...
Well, a lot of times I find that the general public, that's more who I'm interested in touching with this work, because there are a lot of teachers that are gifted in teaching those who are already aware.
Yeah.
So I'm more interested in reaching the people who are not aware and like giving them...
Like the person that would just go and have sex, like, for 10 minutes and, like...
I have construction workers in my classes. I've got doctors and nurses. I've got lawyers. I've got
But how do you
TV
reach
directors
them initially? Because most
through
people
word of mouth.
Most people think it's just natural. You know, you go home, you have sex for half hour, and then or 20 or 10 minutes, mm-hmm. and that's it for the man's side. Of course, the women are pretty unsatisfied with that.
That happened to me actually one time in a party. I was introduced as a sex instructor, and I was kind of pissed about being introduced as a sex instructor. So the man, one of the men, very arrogantly said, "Oh yeah, well, what can you teach me?"
Uh-huh.
Oh, brother, here we go. So he was very arrogant to me, and I said, well, can you have an orgasm? He's like, well, yeah, I have lots of them. I'm like, good, so you pass kindergarten. And it was more a statement, it was kind of a cruel way of saying it, but it was more a statement of understanding that for him to understand that he was only in kindergarten, that there's whole schools of thought beyond what he knew. And the friend who had introduced me thought that was the strangest comment, but a few months later started realizing that I had said something that was actually very, very true, and had contacted me to further investigate this kindergarten sex theory.
So you made a dent in that. What about those women? You know, there's a huge sex industry in the city, you know, where women give tantric massages. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's friends of mine that do that, and they don't think there's anything, well, there isn't anything wrong with it, but it seems, and they, some of the women do use it as a way to bring men in more awareness of their energy, but there's still a huge disconnect in that.
Right. I think the Taoists always, they don't judge anyone. They're pretty much on the middle path.
Right.
So to each their own, people sometimes just need what you were saying, but I oftentimes, when I have those kind of practitioners come to me, highly encourage them to become more educated and to start educating their clients.
Well, what would you tell these women? Because these women, I think, are basically doing it for money, so mm-hmm. they're doing these santri and getting these men off, but there's not a real deep connection to the man, and the man, you know, is then releasing their energy.
It's the same thing I tell everyone. So really go in and cultivate yourself. Because when you get to that place of understanding how incredibly sacred you are, in that your sexual energy is so precious and your heart energy is so tender, when you reach that state of understanding, it automatically goes outward. Mm. It just does.
So would you recommend women not do that? Or
No, I mean, I have friends who do that. But when I work with them, I... So are you using your egg? They're like, no. I'm like, use your egg when you work.
So they use their jade egg when
inside themselves to generate more energy.
But the problem comes because these women are doing it for money. I mean, mostly, I would say, not for the energy exchange.
Well, it's interesting because one of the practitioners I know, she used to sell real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she felt more like a prostitute then than she does now doing sex work.
Uh-huh.
And because her heart and her spirit and her mind is more aligned and in tuned with the spirit and heart of the person, she doesn't feel like she's selling herself. She's just providing a service that she feels is necessary, whereas in real estate, she really felt like she was selling herself.
I know what you mean, but I'm just wondering, is there a way, like I guess in this woman's case, where it can be integrated more, so where you're not selling yourself, and you're not providing a service, but you're having an intimate contact with another person?
Yes. Well, in terms of lower chakra energy, money and sex often are in the same area.
Uh-huh.
So survival, sexual energy, all this comes from the lower part of the body.
Well, survival and sexual energy are very related. I mean,
exactly.
Sexual energy is for the survival of the species, originally, you know, or on a physical, mundane level, that's what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see why they're related.
Yeah, so often what I'll say to women like that is perhaps to look at not necessarily taking every single client, being more selective, knowing that maybe if they do one massage less a day, yes, they've made a little less money, but perhaps they didn't take that one client they didn't feel comfortable with. And just to really work with people that they are comfortable with, and not to be afraid of saying no or educating them or having books around that they can recommend. And if the man's completely closed to that, then making a choice, do you really want to work with him or not? That usually brings a little bit of awareness in their mind that they might have some options there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
to become a teacher.
Not to treat each other like objects, which is what happens in all those clubs. When I went into a strip club once, I was shocked because, you know, the men were treating the women like objects, but the women were treating the men like objects.
Yes. It's a reciprocated thing, and I call that base level understanding of life, and the more you evolve yourself, the more that changes. It just naturally changes. If a person becomes really aware, they won't hurt the earth because they'll become aware that hurting the earth hurts themselves. They pollute the very air they're breathing and the water they're drinking. But if you don't have awareness of your own body, you're not going to really have awareness of the earth or of other people.
Right. This is the earth.
Yeah, so it starts within yourself. If you don't really love yourself, how can you extend that to someone? If you don't really think your sexual genitals are sacred, how are you going to value someone else's?
Right.
So that's where that starts, yeah.
That's good. So what do you want to do with yourself? I mean, what's your goal, ultimate goal?
My ultimate goal? my ultimate goal is to really activate and fully access my full potential as a human being, and I really don't know what that looks like for myself. So I would have to say really living in the moment and experiencing joy with every moment and just being fully present with whatever's in front of me, good, bad, whatever the judgment may be. That's really my daily practice. Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
That's good. Thank you. Thanks for watching.